This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Special Edition DC Showcase, Constantine, the House of Mystery.
Picture yourself set up for good in the whole of life. Mystery Zone. Make us a house, some faraway town where nobody will know us well. Where your dad's not around. All the trouble you look for all your life, you will find.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition DC Showcase, Constantine, the House of Mystery. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and we have assembled the Animated Brain Trust. I've got Paul Montgomery.
Hello.
And Dr. Ryan Haupt.
Hi.
We're here to discuss DC Showcase, Constantine, the House of Mystery. There'll be spoilers. This is the third all shorts compilation that they've put out through the course of this journey we've been on with these DC Universe animated original films. Quite a few of them have had short films in the beginning, and so they put out these compilations with the shorts from the previous cycle plus an original story to kick it off. And so that's what we've got here with Constantine the House of Mystery. Paul, which number are we at now?
This is 50-ish. 50-ish.
We believe this is the 50th release. There's been 48 full-length films.
Right.
Scientists are baffled at the counting strategy.
47 full-length films, and this is the 50th release if you count the three showcase releases. Very complicated. So, as I said, there'll be some spoilers. We talked about the other shorts that are on this compilation on the other shows that they appeared on, but we're going to go more in-depth now because now Paul and Ryan have seen them. I was the only one who saw them before except for Commandy, which Paul had seen.
Right.
Or Commandy. Commandy.
Commandy. Yeah, people give us...
I can't not do it. Commandy. Yeah. So let's kick it off and talk about Constantine first before we get into the other ones. So this is a sequel.
Right.
We're on dicey ground now. This is a sequel to what we thought was the end of the New 52 continuity in these films, which was the Justice League Dark Apocalypse War film, which it ended with Constantine and the Flash putting their powers together to end that continuity and restart the animated world. And so then we got started over with the new Tomorrowverse, which we need a new name for that, by the way. And so this is a sequel in which Constantine must face the consequences of his actions.
Meddling.
He meddles with the forces of the universe, and the Spectre, which I thought was a nice reveal,
yeah,
has put him into the House of Mystery, in which he lives over and over all of these terrible scenarios with his friends and his ex, Zatanna, and other demons and monsters constantly torturing and tormenting him. And
it's a multiverse of madness, if you will.
Until he has to find a way, in the best Constantine manner, escape from this torture chamber. I actually enjoyed it.
Did you? I was surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fine.
It was fine. Like, I didn't dislike it.
I didn't like it.
As a short little Constantine story, it was all right.
It really threw me that the animation changed so drastically when it's supposed to be the same character from the same continuity, but like he's drawn in a completely different style.
Well, he starts off in the old style, then his face changes when he's in the house.
Yeah, which I thought was, I mean, once I got used to it, it was an interesting choice, but it threw me at first because I wasn't like aware that I went into this completely cold. I did not know that this was a continuation of the Flashpoint story from before. So when I saw that,
you were
there was a different, yeah, man, I was just, you know, fist pumping. Hell yeah, let's spend more time with these versions of the characters.
Look, if this was a full length film, Paul, I would have been I'd be right there with you. But
sure,
for however many short minutes this is, I didn't keep track.
Well, you know what? That's part of it. Like, we were talking about this before. I went into this under the assumption that it was a full feature of the Constantine part, and then we were also getting the shorts. But this is a short in itself. So I was of the mindset that, oh my God, there's like, you know, 72 more minutes of this. And it's just the constant, like, he's, you know, waking up in different realities. And it's, you know, it's like you wake up from a nightmare into another nightmare into another nightmare. And
right.
I didn't love the character designs in this, the animation style.
How do you feel about House of Mystery stuff in general, Paul?
That's tricky. I think there are good iterations of that, but dream sequences just in and of themselves are not typically my favorite.
Sure.
Because they're so built on like more tropes of dreams than how we actually experience dreams in reality. There's always like the idea of a character getting a prophetic dream. And my dreams don't even, they barely have a narrative to them. It's more.
But these aren't dreams, though.
Right, yeah. It's,
he's living this reality. It's real.
He's having an Ebenezer Scrooge kind of.
Yeah, you know. I mean, the House of Mystery and all that. I mean, it's you know, it's in that kind of Sandman corner of the DC universe. I understand Paul's point, I think.
This is like an inverse Groundhog Day.
Right.
At one point, he says he's been doing it for years. So, like, he's
centuries.
Been living these things over and over again. So, you know, like, he and Zatan have a family, but bad things happen to his kids. He's hanging out with his mates, Chaz, and those other guys playing poker, and bad things happen there. He and Zatan are going to have sex, and then she turns into a succubus. So, like, there's all kinds of things, and he just keeps reliving over and over. He gets his head chopped off, there's blood everywhere.
Should the succubus reveal? That didn't have to stop. It could
have. I mean, well, that's fine. As a short bit of torture for him, it was right. Okay. And then, but then I liked when they revealed it was the Spectre, who was voiced by Lou Diamond Phillips. And we should note that Matt Ryan, who apparently is the only one who can voice Constantine, is the voice of Constantine.
I don't think I'm a fan of his Constantine. I think that's part of it too, is just, or the way that they write him. It's just, it's ever since they went from the Vertigo Constantine to the DC Universe Constantine. And it just feels so inauthentic, like throwing in the Britishisms.
I feel like they're screwing with us because I feel like every time we see him, his jacket gets shorter. And so this time it was barely bigger than a shirt. And I was like, what is he wearing? You know, in the comics, it's a full trench coat. In the short-lived TV show, they cut it down like a 3/4 length coat, which he also wore on Legends.
And now it's like a member's jacket.
And now it's like a members only jacket. And I was like, what is happening? Next time we see it, it's going to be a tank top. But, you know, Lou Diamond Phillips' Spectre was fun, and he reveals that
he was a kid.
Constantine fucked with reality, so now they're going to fuck with him. But I actually thought that the resolution was really fun and very Constantine appropriate, in which he tricks the Spectre into publicly throughout the universe announcing that Constantine's going to be subject of, you know, eternal torture, and that brings in all the demons over the years that he has promised his soul to, and they all show up and fight over him, and then they end up.
That's a funny idea.
I thought it was fun and funny, and then, you know, at the end, he doesn't actually escape. He gets sent into the void. So I'm hoping then that's it. No more.
Oh, I was going to say, you're hoping that there was going to be more Constantine adventures.
No.
Ends on a cliffhanger.
Right. The way it ended, it didn't really add anything to the ending of Flashpoint.
Well, other than the
you thought Flashpoint was the end of the movie. Turns out some other stuff happened to one of the characters, but then they went into an infinite void forever, the end.
It showed there was a price to pay for what he did. He really did suffer for however centuries or however long he was in the House of Mystery.
Do you guys know how long Phil from Groundhog Day was supposedly in his time loop, according to Harold Ramis?
A long time.
Oh, I knew that at one point.
Like 800 years or something like that?
I think Harold Ramis said at least 10,000 years.
Oh.
Wow. Oh.
He's seen that movie a lot of times. So, you know, I thought it was okay as a way of showing, look, there was a price to pay.
But I didn't care. Like, I don't care that there was, like, at the end of Flashpoint, if you had told me, you know, like, you think, because the movie, like, Flashpoint ends on a bummer. So it's not like, oh, I'm glad they found this horrible solution by ending the universe. Like, and if you had told me, like, oh, and also there was a price to pay for that, I'd be like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And the other two original shorts or these collections before. One is the Batman Death in the Family Choose Your Own Adventure one. And previous to that, it was Shazam Superman Adventure. And those are really fun and original. So this was not, and it sort of plays into DC's need to constantly connect all these films together. But
yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't stand on its own. And yeah, only crazy people like us watch all of these.
I think you could watch this if you've never seen the other ones and get a complete
Right. I mean, they do give you the coda from the Apocalypse War. So you get that. You get the setup for it. This doesn't require that you know any of the setup from that. It's that classic thing of he meddled with, you know, the time stream or whatever. And so now he's got to pay. And I think that the concept is fine. It's just I didn't particularly like the script or the look of it. I was like, and then when everybody started like vomiting blood, I was like, this is unpleasant.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
I don't think it ranks among their best, you know, visuals. I mean, not just the vomiting blood, but this short. It just, I don't think it was visually appealing.
I liked when Constantine was mocking the Spectre as being a wannabe demigod or whatever. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, because like, what is the Spectre, really?
He's the spirit of vengeance,
righteous
right?
Vengeance,
he's like,
yeah.
He's DC Ghost Rider.
But on a bigger scale, he's a cosmic being. Ghost Rider is not a cosmic being.
I think you could make an argument there, but it's, yeah, he exists in sort of a different sphere of influence within DC than Ghost Rider exists within Marvel.
Yeah.
And there's also the cosmic Ghost Rider, which is its own separate thing.
Let's move on to the other shorts I'm looking forward to talking to you guys about. And just as an overall thought on them is that I don't remember what I said for each one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time, but I really liked watching all three of these. And I don't think I did previously, but for whatever reason, I was down for them. In fact, I watched all of these twice. I watched this last week when I thought we were going to record last week, and then I was like, shit, I don't remember a lot of the details, so I went back and watched them all again today at lunch. I had a lot of fun with all three of them, and I don't think I did before. I think I thought The Losers was only okay. I loved Blue Beetle before, and I can't remember what I thought about Commandy, but I really liked them all. I really liked them all. Let's talk about Commandy first, since that was up first on the disc itself. Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth. Mm-hmm. Which had a very Kirby-esque animation style, or at least art style, and opening. And this is sort of Commandy and a bunch of other characters going through trials to see who will be the chosen one. And, of course, the chosen one is the new Superman, sort of. What did we think of Commandy?
And also, the way it ends feels like it's a pitch. Like setup. It's a setup, for like a pilot for a new ongoing series. And visually, it definitely, the spirit of King Kirby is in there. It reminded me a lot of, after the 90s Spider-Man series ended, they went into Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yeah, the High Evolutionaries, Alter Earth.
Which is, I mean, thematically very similar because it's got, like, beast people. It's like a Island of Dr. Moreau kind of thing. But also just visually, they're cut from the same cloth, which I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know if there's any, like, shared lineage between those two or if it's simply Western animators aping Kirby style and they just happened to end up in the same place, but it really reminded me of that old series, which was such a crazy curveball for kids who grew up with the original 90s the 90s Spider-Man series, and then going into that, which was just so bizarre.
But also the 90s animated series ends on a giant cliffhanger that they never resolved.
Yes, it does.
And then it's
right.
And so it's like you get this crazy cliffhanger that your little kid brain can't really handle because you're like, wait, what happened? Like they're going through the multiverse and then
the
new series that comes out, it's like he's on a rock and he's on a different earth and there are animals and his costume's different. I'm like, wait, what?
I feel like I missed something.
All right. Spider-Man's not in this movie.
No, he's not.
Paul brought up Spider-Man. It's not my fault.
I'm sorry. Animation brain trust.
I loved this one. I thought the animation was absolutely fantastic. I think something that helped me understand Commandy as a character was when they did that sort of cliffhanger challenge where like each writer had to write him into a different corner.
Yeah.
Right.
I love the propulsiveness of Commandy stories. There's never really time to stop and talk anything through. It's just like, no, we gotta go. Like, jump off this thing. Hurry. There's an ape man. Quick. Watch out for those rats. Shoot them. You know, and it's just
frying pan into the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, the guy's steel, so the bullets didn't hurt him, so they've released acid. I gotta run into the acid. Like, it's just, I love that it's one thing after another, and it's just chaos. Commandy as a character is really just a cipher for this world, and he's just the guy who goes through all these insane situations one after the other and has to figure it out and survive. And, yeah, it's super fun. And I thought, visually, this was just awesome looking.
And of all of these, this is probably the most action-packed. Like, The Losers have a lot of action to it, but this was the most, as you said, propulsively action-oriented. It was just like, you have to survive these challenges. it starts off with a little action sequence to get to the challenges, but then you get to the challenge and they have to survive. And you got Steel, and then there's the tiger that's not Takitani and
Tufton or something.
It's such a weird world.
I love it.
I do like it. It's so bizarre.
How could you not?
It's very fun. But I thought this was a lot of fun.
Imagination run rampant. It's got Click Clack in it, the big grasshopper. It's wonderful.
This one featured the voice of Cameron Monaghan as Commandy. Commandy? Prince Tufton.
Right.
That's what I said.
Of the Tiger Kingdom.
I said Tufton.
All right.
So Commandy is played by the guy from Jedi Fallen Order, the recent Star Wars game.
This was fun. Let's talk about the losers, which I definitely remember not really liking the first time. I really did like it. I don't, maybe because I knew what was coming and it allowed me to really sort of enjoy what it was, not what I was hoping it would be. This is very much taking a page from the Darwin Cook losers from the New Frontier story. I mean, the losers have been around forever, but this felt very much like that intro to the New Frontier, in which the losers, which is a World War II team of outcasts, Captain Storm, Johnny Cloud, Henry Mile a Minute Jones, and Gunner, and Sarge, are going to Dinosaur Island. They're bringing Fan Long, the Chinese agent, to rescue some scientists. And turns out Fan Long has her own mission, which is counter to theirs, and there's a conflict. I thought this was great. This is really great. I don't know what was wrong with me before. Your thoughts?
I thought just like tonally really cool, and it just reminded me of old like Hanna-Barbera action-adventure cartoons, like, you know, the Herculoids and Johnny Quest and stuff like that. I thought it could have leaned into that even a little bit more, but it's kind of a very straight-laced kind of serious script for how much ridiculousness is in it.
Yeah.
Like, it plays it straight, and I think that ultimately works with the way it ends, with the way it resolves, is it's so crazy. Like, we're going to go off into this big, what's it called, the Wild Bunch, like, sacrifice at the end. And that's very cool.
Yeah, so they end up in Dinosaur Island. The only thing I think I have slightly negative to say about it is I'm a big fan of Dean Winters going back to Oz. I don't know that he worked exactly right as Captain Storm. I don't think his voice matched the look of the character.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like him a lot. I thought his performance was good, but I don't know that it matched the design. But it was fun. You know, it's your ragtag World War II Army squad, and they don't have superpowers. They're just guys trying to fight dinosaurs and then survive. And it was fun. I thought it was really fun. Ryan?
I didn't like this one as much as Commandy or the Blue Beetle one. I watched this one last, and by the time I got to this one, I was a little distracted by some other stuff going on in the room with me, so I just kind of wasn't paying as close of attention as I could have. Maybe if I do the Connor method where I revisit it in a couple of months, I'll feel differently about it, but it didn't grab me in any particular kind of way. I liked it. I liked the resolution. I liked the whole, like, you know, you'll be killed, you'll lose against this force, and they go, yeah, that's what we do. And I was like, all right, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I was like, all right, yeah.
That's pretty much how I felt when I watched it the first time. So maybe...
Okay.
Of the four, it was the least engaging immediately.
I felt the least engaged by it, that's right. For sure.
Less than Constantine?
No, Constantine was probably... I mean, but I watched that one first.
Yeah.
You know, losers, I feel like you'd know where the story's going to go. They're going to lose and do something losery, and that was fine. Whereas Constantine, I like legitimately wasn't sure what twists and turns the story was going to take, and it was the first one I watched, so I was a little more engaged, and I just was a little checked out by the time the losers came around. Sorry, losers.
One of the reasons why I like the short so much is that we're never going to get an animated film about the losers. So we get
100%
a couple of minutes of it. Stage at Sergeant Rock before, also fighting monsters. They might need to have a different story for their World War II characters. You know, we're never going to get a Phantom Stranger full on, but we got a short. So I like these.
That's
I like
short,
that we got a
so
loser.
Good.
But the real showcase for me in these showcase shorts was the Blue Beetle. And I remember raving to you guys about this and saying you guys had to watch it somehow.
Yeah.
And so this one stars Matt Lanter as Blue Beetle, and then a whole bunch of other characters show up. This was very much plays on the old the sort of 80s Hanna-Barbera cartoon style.
Super Friends.
Yeah.
Birdman.
The animation going bad a couple of times and recycled backgrounds and things. Very fun, very innovative. I thought legitimately funny.
Yeah.
As the Blue Beetle teams up with the Question to fight Dr. Spectro, but then it becomes a Watchmen story.
I loved it. Yeah.
Captain Atom, Nightshade, The Question, and Blue Beetle all fight together.
I loved all the jokes about, you know, Steve Ditko's love of Ayn Rand and, like, The Question being this morally uncompromising kind of hating the hippie soda dealer. And it was just
but
so
hilarious.
Funny.
But he was hilarious.
It was great.
The Question. David Kaye's voice was just genius. And, yeah, the hippie store clerk.
Yeah.
Who, when they all get zapped by the ray that makes him doubt everything, and he's wondering if Jazz is the real sellout. Man, I laughed so many times watching Blue Beetle.
And it's totally like, that's the Casey Kasem character.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's, like, as you're watching it, I'm flashing back to watching, you know, like TBS or Cartoon Network when I was a little kid, and not being entirely, like, on the same page with their humor sometimes, being like, what? But that was the writer's room having fun at the time and talking about hippies and stuff.
There was no Peacemaker cameo, was there?
No, he was the only one missing from that group.
And you think that was just because of the James Gunn-ness
of it
all?
He might have been off limits. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, but if you think about it, Peacemaker isn't on The Watchmen, which isn't a name they use in the comic anyway.
The comedian was.
No, I mean, like, in the book itself, he's dead in the first issue.
So at the beginning of the book, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the flashbacks, he was...
Yeah. I just thought it was so sharply written. Every time I thought, they're not going to squeeze a joke out of this, they did, and it was very funny.
Hmm.
The interplay between Blue Beetle, who is slightly dopey, but he's Ted Kord, he's a genius, and the question was delightful. I love the whole segment where the question reveals he knows Ted Kord is Blue Beetle, but Blue Beetle won't admit it.
Oh, that was so funny. Where he's like, this was made by genius inventor Ted Kord. And then he finally just says, yeah, okay, thanks. Thank you for...
It was just really funny. It was really funny.
I loved that they either dipped into the archives or recreated the sound effects that would have been in those cartoons. Like when they drop the diamond and are trying to catch it, there's like this sound that you only hear in those cartoons. Like nowhere else in the world do you hear that sound, but it's like instantly takes you right back. And so, yeah, the character design, I think for the question in particular, is such a spot on,
yes.
Like, because it's not the usual color scheme for him, but it would be the colors that they'd use in that period. Like, instead of using, like grays and blues like they do in the other animated stuff, they use, like, this orangey brown and, like, just these ugly colors. But it looks totally, like, it looks like lost character designs from that period.
For sure. And then, you know, you get about halfway through, and then Captain Atom, Nightshade, they all show up, and you're just like, oh, my, now they're doing Watchmen? Which, if anyone who's listening doesn't know, the Watchmen characters are based off of these characters from Charlton. And even says, it's my Charlton friends.
Yep.
It was just funny. It was a comedy. The Losers is an action story. Command is basically an action story. Constantine's, though, was a horror story, but this was a comedy. And I'm so glad they did it. When I first saw it, and I think I said this before, when I first saw it originally, like, this one will have a Blue Beetle short, I thought for sure it was a Jaime Reyes short.
Right. Yeah, I remember thinking that.
And then it was like, whoa, it's Ted Kord, and whoa, what are they doing? I had so much joy watching this one. I really did. I would love more of these.
I don't know if this plays for a kid now.
No, not at all.
Who has no context for any of that.
Yeah. But yeah. Was this your guy's favorite?
I think this was my favorite of this batch.
Yes, this batch, I mean, this batch.
Like, Phantom Stranger was my favorite of that batch. Because it's just so weird, and it's like clearly like they're having fun.
I really liked the Commandy one, but this one probably edged it out just because of how funny it was.
And also, I thought, terrific voice acting. Yeah, yes. Really terrific voice acting. And
it was clear, he feels like actors who got the jokes.
Yeah, because they would have grown up with that stuff and, you know, might have revered those actors, you know?
Yeah.
I really can't stress enough how much people need to watch this one if they haven't seen it. Especially if you grew up at all in the 80s and watched those cartoons. I mean, you can enjoy it without having that association because it's very smart. But I remember the first time watching this going, wow. Sort of the really flat layouts and the action being flat. And at one point, Blue Beetle's costume colors invert.
Yes.
Which is something that used to happen back then. So it was great. I don't have the credits in front of me, but I applaud whoever came up with this idea.
They really committed to it. They went all the way.
Yeah. Really great. I'm so glad this came out because I was so frustrated that you guys couldn't see it before. Because, like, they're going to love this. They just need to see it.
And the other thing is, like, they're poking fun at those cartoons, but it's also clearly a love letter, too.
Oh, for sure.
That stuff.
Yeah. I mean, those cartoons were silly.
Yeah.
But they were a lot of fun. I enjoyed them, watching them. And I legitimately laughed so hard when they got zapped and the store clerk was like, what if Jazz is the sellout, man? And it doesn't sound funny when I'm saying it, but in context, it's very funny. So, yeah. So those are the shorts.
What a weird collection of
very
things.
Strange. Last time we had Sergeant Rock, Death, Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange. We had one more last time.
All right. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, the Phantom Stranger is still the one that sticks out from that one for me.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I liked
the Death one quite a bit.
The Death was very good.
That was a good one.
That was a strong collection of them. Yeah.
Yeah, other than Adam Strange, which was terrible. Let's see. Then the original one was The Spectre, Jonah Hex, Green Arrow. And the Green Arrow one was terrific. I remember that. But yeah, this was great. You know, we thought for sure they were done.
Yeah.
They took 8 years between shorts. That's how long we've been doing this.
Gosh.
They stopped in 2011, and we thought, okay, they're done with shorts. They did a Catwoman one for Batman Year One. It didn't end up on a collection because there was only that one. They came back in 2019. We don't know yet if there's going to be shorts on the next batch of films. They haven't said, and they haven't released that information. And we've got another one coming up in like 5 weeks or so. So we haven't heard. But every time I just assume the shorts will be done because I can't imagine they're getting much return on investment.
Yeah, it's like, how are they getting away with this?
Other
this
than weird vanity project. Them? Yeah. I hope they continue, and if they have to take a break and come back later, that's fine too, but I hope they get to make more. That was DC Showcase, Constantine the House of Mystery. Let's talk real briefly. So the next one we have coming up is Green Lantern Beware My Power, which comes out July 26th, which means we'll probably have the review come out sometime in August, only because I think I'm going to be on vacation. Yeah, I'm going to be on vacation when that happens. So the review will come out in August.
Looks compelling.
Looks compelling. We've watched the trailer.
It's Jon Stewart, Green Lantern action.
Hal Jordan does feature in it as controversially some kind of hero figure. I don't understand that, but no, I'm excited that it's Jon Stewart, that we're giving, you know, the spotlight to some other lanterns instead of Hal.
And a whole bunch of other characters, which some of them are in the trailer, some are not. I got a little spoiled when I was looking for information on
them. Oh, okay. I will avoid that then.
Yeah, I looked at the press release and they had a lot of characters that I hadn't seen before. I was like, oh shit, all right. So it looks like it's sort of a big adventure that's kind of, well, who knows? We don't know. Maybe they're just in it for 2 seconds. We don't know.
Good trailer, though. Looks neat.
The trailer's neat, and this is what? So we've had, is this the third Green Lantern? Yeah, this is the third Green Lantern one they've done.
Because they did Emerald First Knights, Flight. Which was First Flight, and then that's a Hal origin story. And then Emerald Knights, which is another kind of anthology.
It was an anthology. First Flight was like the fifth one they did. Yeah, it was the fifth one they did. Back in 2009, then Emerald Knights came 2 years later, and then that's been it. I'm scrolling through. Yeah, this is the first Green Lantern film in 11 years. I'm looking forward to that. And then we have, after that, is the Super Sons film, Battle of the Super Sons, I think it's called.
Love the Super Sons.
I'm not excited for that, but that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. I just don't like either character, but that's okay. But we'll take it as it comes.
I mean, I think they were made to hurt you specifically.
They were. I felt personally attacked. The mega corporation like that didn't need to personally attack me, but they did. And that's
it was,
fine.
Yeah, the way they called you out.
To
was
rant
pretty,
about Damien some more.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was fun. I liked watching those films. I liked watching them again. I liked talking to you about them. I look forward to talking about Green Lantern in a month or so.
Yes.
So we'll be back for that. We'll be back for that one. We'll be back for Super Sons. Then there's supposed to be a Milestone film next year. So we'll see if that actually happens. You know, sometimes they
that could be very cool.
Could be cool. Who knows? More than one character. It's probably going to be a bunch of Milestone characters. Static and Hardware and Icon and Rocket probably. I'm guessing it's going to be like a showcase of all the Milestone characters.
The only one I really have any familiarity with is Static.
Static.
Did you watch the cartoon?
Off and on, it wasn't one of my go-tos, but like eventually he crossed over with Batman Beyond and was in that world for a minute. Yeah. So that's
Well, we'll be back. We still soldier on as long as they do. We've been doing this since 2007 when Superman Doomsday came out. So we'll keep on trucking.
Well, yep.
And we'll be back next time with Green Lantern Beware My Power.
Do the viewers want us to keep on trucking? You're talking like there's been feedback that they want us to stop.
No, not at all. Everyone seems to still enjoy the show. I still like doing them.
People always say, is there going to be an animated brain trust for such and such? And like, yeah.
We've been doing it since 2007. The answer is yes. Yes, the viewers want it. We're going to keep going. And so until Green Lantern Beware
My Power. Do we need to talk about whether or not they're viewers?
No, they know.
Okay. All right.
And until then, I am Connor.
I'm Paul.
I'm a viewer who's named Ryan.
Call it up when it gets there. What's it like in the mystery zone? In times that we met, before we met, we'll go back there. Or times that we met, before, we'll go back there. The mystery zone.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ifanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ifanboy.